This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Yap Lip Sing, CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, on how the hotel industry will cope with the new normal amid the new phase of the Movement Control Order. But right now, let's talk about that new phase, the RMCO. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Do you trust fellow Malaysians to exercise self-discipline as we enter the recovery phase of the MCO? Your options are yes, somewhat, and no. Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Yesterday, Malaysia entered a new phase of the Movement Control Order, now called the Recovery MCO. And this will go up until August 31st. And as the RMCO has kicked in, both the National Security Council and Kuala Lumpur City Hall, DBKL, have released new social distancing protocols. It covers areas like places of worship, funerals, schools, the defense sector, as well as open air markets. With all these protocols in place, we speak to Azrul Mohamad Khalib, CEO of Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, for a deeper analysis on the effectiveness and feasibility of these SOPs. Azrul, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you. The new phase of the MCO sees more relaxation on some policies there, measures, and opening up the economy. In your view, is this currently the correct step to take moving forward, or is it too early to be relaxing the MCO?
Well, we were going to reach this point sooner or later. It was going to happen. So the government has now considered that it has already fulfilled the six criteria that was outlined by the World Health Organization for governments considering to look at exit strategies beyond lockdown measures. So we had, first of all, the transmission of COVID-19 is under control, health systems and public health capacity is able to isolate, do contact tracing of each contact. Hotspots are minimized, such as in nursing homes. Preventive measures, such as social distancing, hand washing, has been established. Control of imported cases. And the sixth one is that the populations are empowered and engaged on this new reality that we have to deal with. So basically, the government has decided that it has met the criteria that has been identified both by the World Health Organization and Malaysia itself, and has decided to put into place this new recovery phase. So definitely, I think it's about time that we did that.
Well, it seems like we're almost out of the woods with only two new infections yesterday. But I wonder, are we testing enough? When I look across the causeway, Singapore is still recording very high numbers, especially in the foreign worker community.
Well, I certainly would be cautious with considering that we are out of the woods, because basically the way that Malaysia has done its screening is very much in a targeted manner, where it's looking at specific populations and geographical locations where it wants to conduct these screenings and testings, rather than a much more broad community-based approach to testing. So we at the Galen Centre believe that there is actually a lot more cases in the community of people who are infected with COVID-19. But because majority of these cases are mild, and we see 80% of these cases being in a mild form, chances are these people consider themselves able to function, not needing medical treatment, and either self-isolate at home or decide to basically function normally with the kind of restrictions and protections that has been put into place for COVID-19. And I think one of the reasons why for people being reluctant to seek treatment is the fact that they will probably be imposed with a 14-day quarantine upon being found positive for COVID-19. So, Malaysia is not exceptional from any other country. It's a virus. It behaves the same way, whether it's in Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, UK, US. And from what we can see, we're fortunate that the majority of cases are mild in Malaysia.
Yeah, Azrael,
so we definitely are seeing more cases in the community.
That's right. So, Azrael, the loosening of the MCO also implies that the local health system can cope in cases of a spike in infections. Do you agree with this, especially in terms of the number of medical personnel? They've been working relentlessly for 3 months now. A lot of them must be exhausted.
Well, this was the purpose of the MCO and the CMCO that was put into place over the past couple of months. And you say it's 3 months, but actually the Ministry of Health has actually been working in preparation and responding to the COVID crisis since arguably late December last year. So a lot of it was of effort was put into place to help Malaysia build the capacity to respond to cases of the coronavirus. But you've heard the term flattening the curve, breaking the chain of transmission very often. And that is why the sacrifices were made within the past couple of months, which is to give that breathing space for the health system to be able to build up its capacity to respond to future cases of COVID-19. So we definitely, thanks to the sacrifices made primarily by the staff of the Ministry of Health, I think we are able to manage the future cases that come in and space out the number of cases, because there will be more cases of COVID-19. It won't go away. We're going to be living with this disease for at least a couple of years.
So, Azrul, we've seen some of the SOPs come up from the National Security Council as we enter the RMCO. But are they realistic? How realistic is it that we'll see all businesses be able to adhere to these SOPs?
Let's be frank. These SOPs are a burden to businesses. It's quite, when you look at the 216-page SOPs for every single sector and industry, a lot of businesses are going to be looking at this and going to wonder how on earth are they going to be able to adhere to the different rules and stipulations, provisions that require them to bring in new equipment, to adopt new behaviours. And unfortunately, this is necessary, especially in the COVID-19 era, where we're going to be seeing more cases emerge and we needing to try to manage the number of cases that come in. These SOPs need to be adopted by these businesses. But the reality here is that because it's a burden and because there is a financial cost to adopting these SOPs, these costs will be transferred to consumers. And this is something that we're going to be seeing more of, where we started to hear about barbers, salons increasing their prices, but also you'll see similar practices in other instances, other businesses, such as in private hospitals, for example, where the disposable equipment and additional cost of training needs to be put into a place. But the thing is that because the government is taking a punitive approach to the SOPs, where it is basically putting the burden on businesses to comply and adhere, it is also punishing businesses if you do not comply and do not adhere. And therefore, this approach is quite of a concern for a lot of businesses, especially small, medium businesses wanting to open up and do work, because if they're caught by the authorities for not complying, they could be punished for that.
The effectiveness of these SOPs really rely on the unwritten social contract where there is self-discipline. Do you think Malaysians are ready for this?
Well, definitely. I think one of the things that we're very fortunate is the way that we've been able to adapt from, I think, decades of dealing with different viruses and outbreaks. We had SARS, Nipah, MERS, H1N1, and all of which has instilled upon the Malaysian population, in fact, arguably the Asian population, that it's necessary to wear face masks, for example. And we don't really object so much to some of these new behaviours and SOPs compared to what you can see in the West, in the UK, US, where even wearing face masks is quite a struggle and requires perhaps even legislation to be put into place. But here in Malaysia, I think we are cautious, we have learned, but most importantly, we're willing to adopt many of these SOPs. The issue really here is that we don't want it to be a situation where you're unduly punished if you don't adhere, maybe because you're not aware of the SOPs, which particular rule applies to you and what applies to the business. So I think the Malaysian public is cooperative. My concern here is really about the enforcers, the authorities themselves. I think we need to have a look and see whether they are equipped and trained to enforce the SOPs? Because I think the issue here isn't the Malaysian public. It's really about the authorities, whether they're ready to enforce. Because it's 216 pages of SOPs. I would feel a lot better if they were given training and certification to ensure that they are equipped and able to enforce the SOPs onto other people.
Azrul, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Azrul Mohammad Khalid, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, highlighting some of his highlights from the RMCO policies and SOPs. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. Are we disciplined, self-disciplined enough to enter the RMCO? Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Right now, we've got a few messages and then the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.